We're going to read in the 25th chapter of Matthew, the first 13, the first 13 verses. Yes. Boy, Bill, that offertory went right along with your speechman about fear. Okay. All right. Now we'll ask the Lord to help us. Lord, we thank you very much for your nice presence here and the good words that have come forth, Lord. We remember the little girl in Ensenada, Lord, and pray you'll be with her. And bless her, Lord. She's given quite a testimony. We pray you'll be with Dimitri, Lord, and help him to keep calm and not lose his temper and get in trouble. Just be with him. Give him peace, Lord. And we pray that this bullying will stop. It's not necessary. It's not needed. It doesn't prove anything. So we ask that. And now as we proceed, Lord, we need your help and understanding, giving us understanding of the scripture in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now, Lord, I think we need that one about the introduction to the marriage of the Lamb. Oh, we're going to read the verses, weren't we? Bam. Thank you very, very much, Lord. I couldn't remember whether I'm standing up or sitting down. Okay. I got a lot on my mind. I'm like Bill. I'm trying to get my thoughts together. All right. Here we go, Matthew 25, 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. At that time, the kingdom... What am I doing? Lloyd, the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you, and instead go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." If you'll stop to think, the Jews for 2,000 years, most of them have not recognized Jesus as their Messiah. Why? Why don't they recognize him? Well, let me ask this. When Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus into where the Jews were busy about their business, Anna and Simeon recognized him. Why didn't the others recognize that Messiah had come into the church?
They were expecting something completely different.
That is the answer. Exactly. He did not come in the way that they pictured. And that's why the Jews to this day, the most of them, do not recognize Jesus, is because he came in a manner that they did not expect. It was in the Bible, all right. 53rd chapter of Isaiah, I believe it is, that he would come be wounded for our transgressions. But they still can't see him to this day simply because he did not come as they expected as a king. So that's the way it is with this marriage of the Lamb. It's not happening like we picture. And if I'm not mistaken, this is quite a statement to make. And I recognize that, and I don't like novelties or to give anybody a thrill. But I believe that his coming, in a sense, he's already coming. I'll clarify that by saying that the preparatory works that lead up to his coming have begun. They have begun. And here's two aspects of his coming that you may not have thought of. Now, all the stuff that I'm telling you today is new to me. It's new to me. I did not know. I know Stan mentioned some years ago that one of these scriptures like this was already happening. And I felt at that time he was correct. But much of what I'm talking about now is new to me. It comes to me because I don't need much sleep, and I lay a long time in the middle of the night, 12, 1, 2, 3, praying, because I can't go to sleep, so I pray. And so I get a lot of stuff. But this is one thing that I think is important. His coming is in two phases. One is to us as an individual. The coming of the Lord and the banquet is to an individual. And the second is there will also be a time when everyone can see the assembled bride of the Lamb. And of course, the New Jerusalem is the bride of the Lamb. That's what it says in Revelation 21. So that's the aggregate, that's the combination. But the important thing is, he's going to come to us, are you there? In these days, one-on-one. See, and we picture, we're all going to go up to heaven, and then there's going to be a wedding conducted in the Anglican ceremony, and then we'll all sit at long tables and have a banquet. Well, I don't think so. I don't think that's what the Lord is saying. So if we'll go now to Revelation 3, verses 20 and 21. I remember in Maud Blackstone's mission, and I believe it was in L.A., I was sitting in the mission, and there was a big picture to the left, and it was using this verse to sinners to get saved. But you see, it was written to the church of Laodicea. All right, this I say is going on now. But you see, if I went and I talked to a mainline church and I said this is going on now and that this is the marriage of the Lamb, they would say, you got it wrong, bro. Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. Now, that's to an individual. That's to an individual. And if you stop and think, for the last two or three years, I've been on mainly the main subject of that we're to think while Jesus is thinking and talk while Jesus is talking and act while Jesus is talking. Haven't I been doing that? And I didn't know why the impetus. What was the urgency? But you see, what it is becoming one with Jesus. If you think when he's thinking along with him, speak when he's speaking along with him, talk, act when he's acting along with him, you're one with him, aren't you?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Well, Anna Vae, it's good to see you. You've been away a long time. Well, now, what do we call being one with another person?
Marriage.
Marriage. You got it. See, what we're thinking of is a wedding. Well, a wedding is altogether different from a marriage. A wedding takes about 30 minutes. It may seem longer to you, but I've clocked it. I've married some people. Stan's married some people. It's only about 30 to 45 minutes max. That's all. Clock it the next time you're at a wedding. How long does a marriage take? If you're a person of integrity, barring really unusual circumstances, it takes a lifetime. And the minister says, when you lay the other in the arms of God, it's talking about a lifetime. So marriage is a union. It's supposed to be a union. Am I correct in that?
Yes.
Well, you realize how many verses there are in the New Testament about union? They're all talking about the marriage of the Lamb. And we just didn't realize it. If you're living in such relationship to Jesus that you're thinking and acting and speaking along with Him, you're married to Him. What do you want to do? Go later to a wedding and have a person read the Anglican ceremony to you? Adam, do you know that Adam and Eve, Doug, never had a wedding? Isn't that astonishing? How were they married? In what way were they married? Well, the Hebrew says, you know, King James says he took a rib out of Adam. The Hebrew says he took some of his Adam's side, and I guess he must have healed it up afterward. And on that, he constructed a woman. So Adam says, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Maybe that's where they get the rib from. Union. That's union. That's marriage. That's what marriage is. And the marriage to the Lamb, we are married to Him by eating His flesh and drinking His blood as we go about each day living victoriously, because you don't get the hidden manna if you're not living victoriously. You just don't get it. You had that's verse in Revelation 2 about the hidden manna is to the overcomer in Thyatira. It's to the overcomer. And so every time that you get victory over something, just put your foot down and say, I'm not doing that anymore, with Christ's help, and you grow a little bit in the Lord. In the spirit world, you are given of the body and blood of Jesus, the hidden manna. And this is how the marriage takes place. And you see, it's a revelation to us because it's not what we pictured. Stop and think how you've pictured marriage to the Lamb. Do you picture a lamb, an actual lamb? Well, you picture Jesus. Well, what does that mean? You go around holding His hand? No, it's because He wants to be formed in you. That's the marriage. And so He said, now, see, in the kingdom, there are appointed times. And there are people who enter things, scouts out of the wagon train who come into things early, like Madame Guyon, for example. But there comes a time when the wagon train comes up and it's time for things to move in a new place, And we're there. And Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. And if you're real busy, you won't hear it. If you're doing your religious thing and you're busy about it, you won't hear it. Because religion and marriage of the Lamb are two different things. The proper role of religion is to get us married to the Lamb. I mean, all a Lamb cares about is a marriage. We don't realize that. But you think, before you were married, and you finally figured out this is someone that God had brought along, and you are, quote, falling in love, and you're all bemused and half out of your mind thinking about this person and painting him in psychedelic colors. Wrong or right? Yeah, you're right. So, how do you think Jesus is? Oh, I don't care. Father, if I get married today or tomorrow or the next day, that doesn't matter. And whoever it is not particularly important to me. I really don't care. Take your time about it. I'm happy being a bachelor. There's no problem here. I can get up in the middle of the night and drink coffee if I want to. So this marriage thing, Father, is your idea. It's not mine. Do you think it's that way with the Lord?
No.
And think of how long he's been waiting. I think sometimes he looks at the different denominations and comes up and says, Father, are these the ones? Nope. Oh, look at this denomination. They're going out and doing things and testifying about me and everything. Are they the ones? Uh-uh. She hasn't got here yet. But this is the time. Now. It's funny. A lady by the name... when I was making this up, preparing this over the past week, I kept getting the feeling of now. Now. Now is the time. Now is the time of the marriage of the Lamb. And a lady by the name of Photo, Photogonia, I think. I hear from about once every 5 months. And I think she's a true prophetess. It really rings. And she writes in these kind of disjointed ways that the prophets did there on one subject and another. And, you know, instead of a straight academic treatise, it's kind of like a prophet. I think the lady's got something there. And she's, this is what she wrote to me yesterday, and she says, it's now. Well, I don't know. She said other things, too, that kind of rang with me. She says it's now. It's now. There comes times in the plan of redemption when things change. For example, when Christ was born, or when he was crucified, or when he was raised from the dead, or when the church was born. Do you know the church was born on the very day of the Jewish feast of Pentecost? The Christian church was born on the day of the feast of Pentecost. And that's why there were people who were assembled there from all over the world and could understand the disciples because they were speaking in all these tongues. So that's the way God does. It isn't the same, you know. There was a time before Christ's resurrection, and during that period of time, you could not be born again, because we're born again is an effect of Christ's resurrection. So there come changes, and you say, well, how do we know? Well, how did Anna and Simeon know that the baby was the Messiah? See? You have to be a person of prayer. All these Jewish leaders were running around changing the shekels and looking, you know, for someone that could influence them and get them higher in the scale. And whatever leaders do, but they didn't know Christ was there. When Pilate was before, when Jesus was before Pilate, there were many Jewish leaders in the mob there, priests, judges, Pharisees, scribes, and there in front of them was the Word made flesh. Think of it. The Torah was standing in front of them. The Messiah was standing in front of them. They were looking at him. And Pilate was saying, he hasn't done anything wrong. And they're screaming, crucify him. See, and why, you got to say, these were all intensely religious people. Many of them had memorized the first five books of the Bible. How many here have memorized the first five books of the Bible? Well, you had to do that to be a Pharisee. You know, that was part of the Torah. But there's the Torah. There it is. There he is. When you stop to think of it, what a marvel that is. And only these two old people, Simeon and Anna, were people of prayer. They were not impressed with the religion of Judaism. They were impressed with God. And so God revealed to them that they would see his Messiah. Well, that's the way it is today. I don't expect the leaders of the great historic denominations to realize that the marriage of the Lamb has begun. I don't expect that. But there will be people when they're alerted, and that's my business and others like me, to alert people, because it's to whosoever will. It's not a special little group of people that know more than everybody else. It's to whosoever will. But they have to be alerted to pray and to stop the business as usual and realize, hey, something's going on here. Like the cowboy that rode up for the first time and saw the Grand Canyon. He said, oh, something's been going on here. Well, that's the way it is. Now, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, and Audrey pointed out to me, it doesn't say if anyone hears me knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, you know he will never open that door. People will say that, you know, if the Lord wants me to do something, he'll tell me. And the way he operates. You want anything from God, you have to ask. Your atmosphere of your life must be one of looking to Jesus, not praying in church Sunday morning. You have to be living in the quest for Christ, for his presence. And that may seem impossible to you, but it is not. It's just as simple a way to live as anything else. You just keep yourself in tune. You can get out of tune with God so simply, you know, just letting everything around you distract you. Oh, there's this, and there's that, and there's the next thing. Yeah, and distractions will keep you from the bride of the Lamb. Just distractions. Not terrible sins, just being distracted. You have to make an effort day and night to, like Paul said, set your affection on things above. Boy, that doesn't happen naturally. That does. How many have a problem, as I do, with your mind wandering? Amen. Well, you have to make an effort. You don't strain over it, but you just... I'll say, Father, in Jesus' name. When my brain gets tired and I don't want to go into anything longer, I just say, Father, in Jesus' name. I may say that five times, and that gets me back into where I'm able to hear what the Lord is saying. Something you have to work at. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That could be translated different ways. It could be attention. Be conscious of the things that are above. And as I told you last week, ask the Lord to give you something to picture so you can kind of picture it and think of what it will be like when you're in the spirit world. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Then you won't go nuts, Tony, worrying about the ISIS or the immigration or the Ukraine or all these things. You don't worry about them. You say, well, if I don't worry about them, who's going to worry about them? You're not obligated to worry about the world and the devil's works. Think of the peace and joy of heaven. I told you last week I got thinking about the Toonerville trolley. I just love that, all that green grass, people living simple, ignorant lives. I really love that. Peace. Peace. You go nuts reading the paper and watching the television and the internet. Man, they move from one disaster to another. You don't have to, you don't help anybody by worrying about it. If you do something about it, that's different. If you can hear him, if he was to knocking at your heart's door right now, could you hear him? Or is your mind on other things? Huh? That's a teaser, isn't it? And opens the door, I will come in. There's your marriage right there. And eat with him, and he with me. People do that at weddings, don't they? Something like that. They eat chocolate mousse, mice, and horse tubers. I will come in and eat with him. What do you think he eats? Notice he puts himself first. That's not the way of a gentleman. A gentleman puts you first, but the Lord is more important than we are. So he says, I will eat with him. See, that's important. Everything in the scripture is important. So he does the first eating. What do you think he eats? Your worship and what?
Obedience.
Obedience, those two things. Put obedience first. That's even more important to him than worship. To obey is better than the fat of rams. The most important thing to Jesus Christ is your obedience. Not your service. Your obedience. That's the most. After all, he is God and he knows what he's doing. And he doesn't need you to figure out what to do. Just be obedient. That's the most important thing in the Christian life, is obedience. To hearken is better than the fat of rams. To hearken, to listen. Are you listening to Jesus these days? Are you spending time listening? Are you finding out what he really wants you to do? That isn't religious works. You may be wearing yourself out, doing the wrong thing. Listen. Stop and listen. Well, if I do that, I'm not doing anything. I recognize that. Listen. That's the most important thing you can do. Listen. Open the door. And let him come in, and he will feed on your obedience. And after that, your worship. We don't usually think of these two verses as the marriage of the Lamb, but they are. Notice what he says in the next verse. They're related. These two verses are related to him who overcomes. How do we overcome? We overcome by listening to the Lord and doing what he says. We overcome distractions. We overcome fear that Bill was talking about. We overcome the lusts of the flesh. America's being overcome with sexual lust. The demons are so happy here. It says, it was a report that half of the kids in high school are sexting. If you don't know what that is, I'm not going to tell you. But it's, 100 years ago? I don't know. There'd be a march on Washington. And that's what's happening to America. And God help our young people, because you have to be super strong to escape it. It won't be fed with the hidden manna, with the body and blood of Jesus, which is to say, you won't come into the marriage of the Lamb unless you overcome. It's not a choice, like, should I overcome or not? If you overcome, you'll have all the good things of God. If you don't, the Bible doesn't talk about what will happen to you. It talks about fire, and it talks about shame and contempt. But all the promises are to the ones who are victorious. And believe me, talk about the SEAL training. It's the same kind of thing. You just got to be at it all the time. Because our society is being filled with demons, and they're having an uproarious time in the public schools. An uproarious time. To him who overcomes. So the rest of this does not apply to us unless we get the victory. And remember, you don't get the victory by your own straining. You get it by letting the Lord in and obeying him. He's the overcomer. But we also have to overcome through him. Now notice what you get and see if you can connect it to being married to the Lamb. I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Now, who is it that sits on the throne with a king?
Father.
Huh?
The queen. His queen.
His wife.
His wife. Hopefully the queen is his wife. It's his wife. He doesn't have some concubine sitting on the throne with him. He has the one that's next to his heart. He has his wife sitting with him. Is that true?
Yes.
That's why this verse follows the preceding. Because it's talking about marriage to the Lamb. Just as I overcame. Isn't that something? Sometimes, as I say, we picture Jesus as some kind of an icon in a frame. You put him on the bedroom wall. No, he is a person. Jesus is a person. And that nothing delights him more than for you and me to treat him as a friend and a person. Nothing delights him more. I notice when, I don't know how to pronounce her name, P-H-O something, this very kind lady who came from my neck of the woods. You could, from where we were on the West Shore, you could look across and see Long Island. I think it was about 21 miles across. Clear day, you could see Long Island. And that's where she was raised as a little child. She pointed that out, how she knew I was raised on the West Shore of Connecticut. She must have been doing her homework, because I don't know how she knew that. So Jesus also had to overcome. Remember, they wanted to make him a king. He fled from them. I'm sure the devil said, look at all the good you can do if you're a king. Like people say to Christians, look, if you could be president, or you could be something else, look at the good you could do. Nonsense. Nonsense. Triple nonsense. The only good you can do is when you obey the Lord. And that's what Jesus did. He kept himself down. Although he was the Son of God, he didn't count it a thing to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. Patiently each day, obeying the Father. And we're to obey Jesus patiently each day. And if we do, he will see to it that we're aware of traps before we step into them. And if we should do or whatever else we do, he can help us get out of it if we keep our eyes on him and let him in. See, the key is the marriage. The key is to be in union with Jesus. That's the key to the Christian life, to let Jesus live it in you. Not in a passive sense, but actively keeping from distractions so that you can keep your mind on Jesus. Keep looking at Jesus. That's what religion is supposed to do for us, but it usually calls attention to itself. All right, Lloyd, you have up there, do you have the flash drive there, the introduction to the marriage of the Lamb? What would I do without Lloyd? Will you tell me that once? There he goes. That's in the rich text format. Yeah, and it comes up, no problem. All right. Now, they were on their way. The bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Notice the expression, the virgins who were ready. It's whether or not we're going to be able to enter the marriage of the Lamb depends on whether we are ready. It doesn't just happen because you accept Christ. In this case, it talks about the oil, which is the Holy Spirit. You have to keep filled with the Spirit. Or when the rapture comes, if you want to think in those terms, you're going to be left. I swear, our gathering together, our gathering with the Lord depends on our being ready. Ha-ha. All right. And the door was shut because in the last days God is going to give Antichrist authority and power to enter into the heavenlies where the saints are at the right hand of God and tempt some of them and tear them down to the earth. And in that day no one will be able to, quote, accept Christ. There's coming a day when the heavens will be controlled by Antichrist. God will permit this. And the purpose is to get all rebellion out of the heavens and the earth, all of it, so that all of us left are people who rejoice in doing God's will. Do you rejoice in doing God's will? If not, pray that God will give you that gift where you can say, I delight to do thy will, O God. If you cannot say, if you've got something, oh boy, I wish I didn't have to do God's will for a year or two. You know, I got stuff I want to do. You're a rebel against God. You're rebelling against God. There's no prayer permitted in the kingdom except your will be done. And if you once you get to where you enjoy it, it's your greatest pleasure is to do his will. God doesn't want people around doing what he wants and hating it. He's the king. You don't come before the king frowning. That's why in Nehemiah says, why is your face cast down? And old Nehemiah's knees were knocking because that was enough to get him killed to come into the king's presence without a happy face. When you come before God, don't tell, Lord, do I have to? And the Lord will say, oh, by no means, do what you want to. But boy, will you suffer for it. No, you come before God with a happy face and say, Lord, like the psalmist said, I love to do your will. I delight to do your will. Makes me think of Rebecca's baby. The baby's middle name is Tirzah. How many know what Tirzah means?
Delight.
Delight. All right. Now, the second one. The Son of Man. This is going on today, he said as he shook his finger at the congregation. This is going on today, Marla. Today. And you'll feel the effects of it. But this is a preparation for the marriage to the Lamb. It's preparation. Now I want you to think about something. How many are too tired to think? You're going to have to think about something. All right? Now take that verse. He will weed out of the world, right? Right? No? No, Betsy? What does it say? He will weed out of his kingdom. Are you in his kingdom? I hope so. Okay, Jemima looks scared over there. Remember what Bill said. Now, they will weed out. Now, here's where you have to think. Would this be done before or after the rapture of the church?
It has to happen before they meet the Lord. Before.
I hear a lot of befores. I didn't hear any afters. Why does it have to happen before the rapture? Well, stop and think. All right, in the rapture, I'm using the term because it's familiar. The Greek term is actually catching up. So I'll say catching up, then we'll be solid with the Greek language. The Greek language doesn't say rapture. All right, if it happened after the catching up, just stop and think. Okay, you're going about your business. All of a sudden, the trumpet blows. Bill, if you had your trombone here, you could give us an example of that. Ta-da! And you begin to feel real light in your keds, okay? They say, oh, it's the catching up, and I'm going up to meet the Lord. So you go up some, and first thing you know, it's getting colder and colder. You don't feel it. You break through the clouds, and there, first thing you know, you're in heaven. Wow! And you're looking at your mansions and wondering which one is yours. And people were running around like a line outside of a bank when it's been closed, trying to make sure you don't get their mansion. Because, see, they've never been sanctified. Okay, so finally you get one that nobody else got. You find your mansion and you go in, and over the door it says, welcome, welcome. And so you go in, and there's a beautiful couch, and you go in and you say, I'm tired. And I think I'll lie down and my peace will be sweet. So you lie down on this couch. And then an angel comes in and says, now is time for all us guys, because the word messenger, angel means messenger, that's all it means. Could be a person, a human angel, or a spirit angel, and says, and shakes you by the arm, and your peace is no longer sweet. Because he says, this is the time when the Lord is going to take out of his kingdom all who sin, and you've been gossiping. So you say, but my mansion, my couch, my sweet rest. It says in the Bible, haven't you ever read it, that they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil in the church you were in? You were self-willed, you were gossiping, you were causing division. You are running down the pastor when, behind his back. That's you. So come with me. But I don't want to. Come with me. And the messenger leads you out through the door. It doesn't say welcome anymore. The neon light's out. And he takes you over. And you're looking at a great, it looks like the top of a great space. And he says, jump. And so you don't jump, of course. And so he gives you a good swift kick, and over you go, over into this void, and down and down and down and down and down. Seems like you've been falling for an eternity. And at the bottom of it is fire. That's what it says. And the next verse, 42, they're thrown into the fire. So you agree with me, it wouldn't do to have this after the catching up, would it? I don't think so. Huh? Before the catching up, which means, because the catching up is still in the future, which means God today is going through his people and getting at things like gossip, self-will, sexual lust, arrogance, dishonesty. Now, and what you, if you want to remain in the kingdom, see, these are weeds, and you'll be taken out of the kingdom if you don't confess it and ask Christ to help you change. You've got to change. You can't just talk about change. You say, could I really stop gossiping? You could by the power of Christ, couldn't you? Huh?
Yes.
I think so. He was able to stretch out the heavens and all the heavenly bodies. I think for some poor little person that says, Lord, I'd like to stop gossiping, I think he's got enough power to do it. But you see, the church is asleep. Why? The doctrine of once saved, always saved. See? Not scriptural, whatever. Or that God sees us through Christ. If he sees us through Christ, then this verse doesn't mean anything. Or I'm saved by grace, then this verse doesn't mean anything. See, we've been lied to. And the result is a church that is hoping against hope that this verse does not apply if you're a Christian. That's the hope by which they live. But I'm here to tell you, in the name of Jesus the Lord, that Jesus Christ said this, and it will happen, and it will happen before the catching up. This is all preparatory to the marriage of the Lamb. You cannot be married to the Lamb and be gossiping or have sexual lust or something. Say, but that's everything you said I'm guilty of. Well, then take one at a time. Maybe if you can get rid of one of them today, you made progress. Inch by inch, it's a cinch. Maybe if you just name your worst one, or maybe name your not worst one, till you get the hang of confessing and asking Christ, say, Lord, by your help, I'll never do this again. I will never, never. You ought to be in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You've got to have more in you than oatmeal. You've got to have some steel. You're going to come down with Christ and set up his kingdom, right? Or would you rather just let it drift? Hope against hope. Brother Thompson and the Bible are wrong. And most of the world is right. And all the religious leaders that are asking for my money are right. I don't have to worry about anything, because the catching up will come tomorrow, and all my sins will be gone, and I'll enter into paradise. I just hope so, Lord. But the Bible doesn't say that. Shall we stand? You've been a very good audience, and I want you to realize that today we broke trail.
Amen.
I told you that the marriage of the Lamb, that is, the necessary steps, have begun. It's not the future somewhere where there'd be a big banqueting table. It's one-on-one, one-on-one. Later will be the all-together, as in the New Jerusalem. But today, it's you and Jesus. Okay? We broke trail today. Lord, we have come to a time in the plan of redemption. that Jesus must have been looking forward to for thousands of years. Oh, my beloved, Father is. Will she be the one, that one today opens the door? Will that be the one you have promised to me to share the kingdom with forever? Will she be the one? And the Father says, yes, my son, everyone who in these days listens to you and obeys you, worships you, in these days, that is she that you will spend eternity with. And Jesus says, oh, my Father, how can I thank you? You said it's not good for man to be alone, and now you have given me someone to be with me forever. Oh, how I rejoice, Father. I enjoy doing your will. It's wonderful. And the Father says, your gratitude is all I need for payment. Just, my son, that you are happy doing my will.
Hallelujah, as we look to the Lord, I believe he has a word for us. Kamiya potobra bashaya. What he is saying, be aggressive and reaching out to me. Yes. Be aggressive and I will touch you as you are calling. The woman in scripture who had an ailment reached out, pressed forward, was aggressive. Adiya morra bashaya. And received at my hand the virtue that passed from me to her. And many of you have gotten this far. Bia, govrabashaya, yapo tamaya. And I am calling you yet closer. And I will touch you. You will experience my life. My life will flow in you in this hour, not later. Now, as you have heard this day. So I would say to you this day, in the name of the Lord our God, be aggressive in your prayer life. Be aggressive in walking in your daylight time with me. Be aggressive at night as you ponder the things of the Lord. Abba Shama, know you how? You know how. Amen. In the spirit of the Lord your God. Amma Chetiyavada. Press through.
Yes.
Press forward.
Yes.
Do not lose your opportunity, for I am calling now. I am knocking now.
Yes.
Forward. Yes. Welcome.
As I was praying last night about how to end this service, I thought, if you want to come to the altar, you can. Welcome. But that can become not the most desirable thing in what I'm preaching. It would be better to think about it. And whenever you leave, to keep asking the Lord, and when you go out through the door, to keep asking the Lord, and as you get in your car, to keep asking the Lord, because otherwise you come to the altar and then leave and figure that's done. And this is something that has to be mulled over for a lifetime.
Amen.
Lloyd, could you play again that as we leave, or or listen or come to the altar or whatever we do, that one about my peace will be sweet and not too loud with it. Instrumental music. How many know that it says in the 149th Psalm about the saints are lying in their bed and you know what they're doing? Do you know, Kathy, what they're doing? The 149th Psalm?
Are they fighting and praising? There's a sword and they're praising or something like that?
They're judging the nations. They're judging the nations and fighting. So there's more than one way to skin a cat, as they say. And as you lie, you know, you lie down. Almost every night that I lie down, I say that I think of the Lord's protection. I say, I lay down in peace and sleep. Because thou art with me, O Lord. Thou art with me, O Lord. And he is with us. So I'm not going to do any more. Just take your liberty in the Lord. And remember, we're in a new day. And it's now that the Lord is saying, open up the door of your heart. The marriage of the Lamb has commenced.